So this morning we're going to continue our teaching program of Freedom in Christ. And I'm going to be exploring the topic this morning, forgiveness from the heart. Now, if you missed Bex's talk last Sunday, then I want to highly recommend, please, that you go back and you listen to that on the podcast, because what Bex shared last week is a wonderful kind of foundation, really, into what I want to share this morning. So please, please do that. Now, I bet if I was to ask a question here now, who's been hurt or offended by someone in the past? You haven't got to answer it. I want to make public this, but I suspect pretty well every one of us are going to put our hands up, aren't we? We've been hurt or offended by someone. And if I was going to ask a second question, who's still holding on to the pain or the offence of that hurt? Who's still holding on to it and is still affected by that? I suspect there would still be a few hands in the air. And maybe, you know, you've tried to forgive, but, you know, that hurt or offence, it's just too big to forgive. It might not be with you all the time, but every now and then, that offence or that hurt just raises his ugly head and you're jettisoned right back into that situation. How many of us, I wonder, can identify with that? You know, for sure, I've been hurt in the past. I have. Hurt quite badly at times. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but this is what I do. Okay, I lie in bed in the middle of the night and I have a blazing row with the person who's hurt me. It's all going on in my head, you know, and it can be, you know, I can be saying also, I can get myself really worked up and irate. I'm just lying in bed thinking of this stuff, you know, and it's probably, this conversation is probably never going to happen. But somehow I get kind of satisfaction of giving my all over what's happened, and I let it all out and I get angry in my mind. Now, maybe I'm just the only person that does this, but maybe you do that too. I don't know. But the truth is, you know, when you can't let go of a hurt, somehow it really holds you captive. You just can't get rid of this. And that's why you end up lying in bed thinking of all this rubbish and running through scenarios, because you're not letting go. And what's worse is we know we should forgive, don't we? Let's face it, what I'm preaching on this morning, we know the answer. We know we should forgive. Yet, for whatever reason, we don't or we can't. So, this morning, we're going to be looking at forgiveness from the heart. And I want to think of two things, two questions. Why do we need to forgive? And how do we forgive from the heart? And I just want to make a comment about the pictures, okay? You might think, what on earth is that picture up there for? I've lifted these pictures directly from the Freedom in Christ course. So I think they're actually quite good course, quite good pictures, but that's where they've come from, okay? And to talk about this, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went to put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. And so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. That's quite a strong verse at the end, isn't it? I wonder how many of us know the Lord's Prayer off by heart. Do you know the Lord's Prayer off by heart? And roughly in the middle, what do we find? We find these wonderful words, don't we? "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts," or our sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors," or those who sin against us. And Jesus is basically saying here that we need to keep short accounts between ourselves and God. You know, if we sin, and we do, let's face it, we take it to God and we ask God for forgiveness and we maintain that relationship. However, to maintain our relationship with the Father, what does it say? We also must forgive those who sin against us. You need to do both. And Jesus goes on to say in verses 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Well, hang on a minute. You might be thinking to yourself, God won't forgive my sins. Well, where do you get that theology from? Surely, I thought for God's forgiveness, it was unconditional. Our sins, past, present and future, are completely forgiven and removed. We're saved by grace. Isn't that true? That's what we're taught, isn't it? And from God's perspective, as God being the judge, if you like, the judge over sin, he has laid our sins on Jesus Christ when he hung there on the cross. Jesus bore our sins. And when we give our lives to Jesus, when we pray the kind of prayer, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, you know, come into my life, I want you to be Lord of my life." When you pray that kind of prayer, then for sure, Jesus takes our sins upon himself, and we are cleansed and we are forgiven, past, present and future, once and for all, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us. That is fantastic news, isn't it? Great news. However, there had to be a but. However, in terms of our relationship with our God, our Father, when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it kind of creates a barrier between us and God. Suddenly we find it hard to really relate with God. Suddenly our prayers feel like they're not getting through. We're not discerning God's will in the way we know we should. If you want to try and put it in human terms, try and think of it like this. It creates an atmosphere. Who's ever been in an environment of people when there's an atmosphere? You know what that feels like, don't you? And you feel it. You can't talk freely. It just doesn't feel right. Why do we think it's any different with God when we are deliberately not doing what God requires, which God says we should forgive others as he has forgiven us? And when we disobey God in that way and we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it creates an atmosphere. Suddenly our relationship with God is simply not how it should be. It feels uncomfortable being in God's presence. Now you might say to me, "But you don't appreciate how bad this hurt is, how bad this offense is. You know, I just can't forgive this person. That's what, maybe what you're feeling, or maybe you're actually saying, I just won't forgive this person. The tragedy is, and this really is a tragedy, the tragedy of holding unforgiveness in our hearts against a person is that the truth is, the person you're hurting most is yourself. It's yourself by not forgiving. That's not freedom. We're talking about freedom in Christ. So when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're hurting yourself. In our story, the first servant had an impossible debt to pay. 10,000 talents. Do you know how much that is in today's money? We're probably talking a lifetime's earnings, a seven-figure number, amount of money. There was no way in a million years this servant was going to pay that debt. It was impossible. Yet the king showed mercy and he cancelled that debt, and that's what God does for you and for me. The debt of sin was completely impossible for you and for me to pay. We could not save ourselves. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short. It is impossible for us to pay the debt. However, Jesus Christ paid the debt for us by hanging on that tree, and the sin was put upon his shoulders for us. And now we might not understand all the deep theology of this, and there's been lots of books written about what it means, you know, for Jesus to bear our sins. We may not understand all that theology, but we know this: God loved us enough. God loved you enough to be willing to pay the entire debt of your sin and for Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. Now, there's three terms, if we're going to do any theology at all this morning, there's three terms that are worth looking at. They're on the screen there. Justice. You see, justice required that sin had to be punished. The penalty of sin is death. And we're not talking about a physical death here. What we're talking about is eternal separation from God. Justice required sin be paid for by death. If God was going to deal with you and me the way we deserved, justly, every single one of us would go to hell. Now that sounds tough, but that's the truth. If God dealt with us as we deserve, we would all go to hell. However, in just the same way as the king demonstrated mercy towards his servant and paid the debt, God showed mercy towards you and me and paid this impossible debt for us. Mercy is not punishing us as we deserve. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Luke 6:36 that we should be merciful. We should be merciful to others just as God has been merciful to us. But you know, God always wants to go that extra mile. Not only does he not punish us in the way that we deserve, and he shows us mercy, he goes the extra mile because he wants to pour gifts and blessings and wonderful things into our lives, you know, things that we don't deserve. That's what the Bible calls grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He wants to give us blessings. This is how God behaves towards us. And this is how God expects us, you and me, to behave towards others. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, if we were to place ourselves in this story, okay, so if we were that first servant, then we are, you know, we are just like that first servant. If we place ourselves in the story, that's who we're like. We've all been forgiven a completely impossible debt. The question I want to ask, though, is if we continue in this story, how much are we going to continue to be like this servant? Because the story does not progress very well. Let's carry on looking at it. In the second part of this story, another servant owes the first servant 100 denarii. Now, a denarius is about one day's wages, okay? So this servant owed the other servant about 3 months' salary. 3 months' wages. It's a big amount, but it's not an outrageous amount. In time, he probably could pay that debt. And as in the first case, the servant owing the money, he pleads to be given time to pay. But what does his servant do? He shows no mercy whatsoever, and he has the servant thrown into prison. And when the master finds out, he's absolutely furious. And I suspect, you know, if we were the master in this case, you and I would be absolutely furious as well. I mean, it's outrageous, isn't it, that this second servant should behave the way he did when this first servant had been shown so much love and kindness. How can he act like that? And yet, that is exactly how we behave if we refuse to forgive someone. Because you and I have been forgiven so much. Our impossible debt has been paid for. So what right have we got to hold unforgiveness in our heart? We are behaving just like him. And in this story, the master has the first servant thrown into jail. And some translations, incidentally, talk about him being tortured. Now, don't worry. This doesn't mean to say that he's put on an electric chair, his fingernails are taken off and his eyes are poked out. I've been to Madame Tussauds. I know what that kind of impression looks like. It's not that kind of torture. What this torture is it's like never, ever being able to find peace and rest. You'll feel like God is on your case, he's on your back, and you just can't rest. Jesus goes on to say, this is how the Father will treat us unless we forgive our brother from the heart. Unforgiveness is like opening a door to the enemy. Ultimately, that's what it's like. And you choose to unforgive, you choose not to forgive somebody, it gives Satan room to start twisting and turning. You can't find God in a proper way. The enemy comes in and you are just so not free anymore because you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. This is why we need to forgive. So let's look at what it actually means to forgive from the heart. This is when it starts to get into the kind of things that Bex was preaching about last week, and a lot of what was shared this morning about pouring out our emotions. It starts with an emotional time in the presence of God, with himself, and you share your pain, you share your hurt, you share your offense with God. You tell God how you're feeling. Because it is hard to forgive when you bottle everything up inside you. Because when you bottle it up, what happens? You get all furious, you get angry, you get frustrated. You start having conversations in your head in the middle of the night and running these scenarios. That's what happens when you don't let your emotions out. That's why lots of people, when they've been hurt or when they've been abused or offended, they will go and see a therapist. Because it's therapeutic to pour out your feelings and let your emotions out. And let me tell you, there is no greater therapist than God himself, who made you, who knows every detail about your life and knows more than anybody else how to piece you back together again. God is the one who you need to pour out your feelings to. When you've been hurt, you've been abused, you've been offended, give it over to God. And part of the way we do this is we actually say to God, God, I choose to forgive. I'm cautious about choosing a name. Harry. Is there any Harrys here? I choose to forgive Harry for what he said or did to me. And for the pain that he caused me, God, I choose to forgive him. You know, and as you pour out your heart to God, you share your hurts, and you make that decision, God, I choose to forgive him. God might reveal other things, that other hurts, other situations, other conversations, and you start to get into this dialogue with God, and you choose to forgive more, and you choose to give it over to God more. And as you go through this process, it starts to bring healing upon you. This is probably done best in the privacy of your own home, in a quiet place where you can be really honest with God. However, I do recognize that some people might find that really hard, just to do that on your own, and you just feel like you need somebody with you. And it's okay to do this with a trusted friend and share with the friend that you hurt, and that friend help you and lead you into being in the presence of God and praying these kind of prayers. If you need a friend, then reach out. We should note, though, that forgiving from the heart is not so much as an issue between you and the person that's hurt you or offended you. It's actually between you and God, because he's the one who's commanding us to forgive. And so when we choose not to forgive, who is it we're disobeying? We're disobeying God. Not surprising, therefore, that we create an atmosphere between us and God when we choose to forgive. You know, you may not even have to or need to involve the person who has hurt you. That may not be required, but this is in a sense setting yourself free by choosing to forgive in the presence of God. Now, there may be times when it is appropriate to approach someone where your relationship with that person has broken down. It says in Matthew 5 that when we come to the altar, we've been singing about coming to the altar, haven't we, this morning? When you come to the altar, if you know you have an issue with someone, you should go to that person first and be reconciled. The thing is, your freedom can't depend on that person, forgiving you or putting that thing right. You know, they may not see what you see, or they may reject you, they may push you away. If forgiving is dependent on how the other person responds, it's just not guaranteed, is it? It's just not guaranteed. First and foremost, in the presence of God, you've got to forgive from the heart. And you've got to give it over to God and say, God, I choose to forgive this person. It's also worth saying that if you choose not to forgive, well, I suppose put it this way, some people might think that when you forgive somebody, you just decide to forgive. It's like they're off the hook. You swept it under the carpet. We got away with that, didn't you? Because I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, I have to forgive. Well, I'll forgive you, You've got away with it, haven't you? But actually, by choosing not to forgive, you're the one that's still hooked. You're the one that's still held captive. You're the one that's still thinking about this in the middle of the night. You're the one that gets caught out when suddenly it raises its head. You're the one still bound by this thing. Let's look about what forgiving from the heart is and isn't. It's not forgetting. Trying to forget something. Do you find that? Do you think that works? I'll forget all about what you did. It was a terrible offense. I'm burning angry, but I'm going to forget it, okay? Do you forget it? Probably not. You know, when the Bible tells us that God forgets our sins, he doesn't forget in the sense like we forget. God knows everything. How can he forget? It says in Jeremiah 31, 34, this is what it means. It says, I will remember their sins no more. Subtle difference. Not, he doesn't forget, he just chooses not to remember. Which basically what he's saying is, I won't let the past affect my relationship with you moving forward. I choose not to let it affect me. As far as the east is from the west, so far as have I removed my sins from you. If you keep bringing up hurts and offences, if you choose to keep remembering them, you know, clearly you've not forgiven. You might say you've forgiven, but if you keep raising it, then you've not forgiven. Likewise, forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to tolerate sin, just put up with it. You know, God doesn't tolerate sin, and neither should we. So if someone is abusing you, and it's very serious, then you might have to consider taking yourself out of that abusive relationship. But please, 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 don't do anything rash like that without first talking to somebody that you trust and can advise you. Forgiveness is not taking revenge. I want to get the emphasis on that phrase, right? Forgiveness is not seeking revenge. No, forgiveness is not seeking revenge. Revenge feels like justice, don't you think? You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. You made my life a misery, so you watch. I'm going to make your life a misery. Well, you think you feel good by seeking revenge? It might satisfy you in the short term, but it's not freedom, and it's never going to get you that place of freedom. And it's like a cancer, and it'll erode into you. Forgiving can, if you like, sometimes feel like you're just sweeping it under the carpet. I'm trying to, you know. But Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It's mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Essentially, you know, to set yourself free, let God do what God does. And trust God. Don't seek revenge. Oh, you know, it's a weapon of Satan to seek revenge. How are we going to respond to this? Because it's such an important word. So much this morning has been about pouring our hearts out to God, our emotions. What Beck shared last week about, you know, how we handle our emotions, bringing them to God. If you are holding unforgiveness, if someone has done something to you in the past, believe me, I really understand. I know I have been hurt in the past, but I have learned personally the importance of handing this over to God. God, I choose to forgive. I really want us to think, to take a moment now and to think, am I holding any unforgiveness in my heart? Are there situations that every now and then, it's not there all the time, but every now and then, it just raises its ugly head. And I tell you, when it does, I am right back there. And I'm finding myself getting angry. And I'm finding myself feeling hurt again. I'm finding myself getting frustrated. I thought I dealt with it, but clearly I haven't dealt with it because it's just come rushing back into my mind again. If any of us are feeling those thoughts, then I just want to lead us in a prayer. I'm not looking for anyone to publicly declare that this is where they're at, because I think this is quite personal. But I do want us, I want to encourage us to take that first step and bring it to God and choose to forgive. And you may feel that after this prayer, you might need then to talk to somebody. Then just find somebody that you trust, whether it's a close friend or somebody in the ministry team. Find someone and talk it through so that we can help you. But let me just pray. Let me just pray this prayer. And if this is you, then you pray this prayer quietly between you and God. Dear Lord God, we want to be free in Christ. And we want to become fruitful disciples. We don't want the enemy to have hold on us any longer. So we say before you now, we are resolving to forgive all those who have hurt us, just as you have freely forgiven us. In the name of Jesus, who died that we might be forgiven. Amen. If that prayer would meant something to you this morning, if you feel that this, you have started a journey to finally forgive and to ultimately set yourself free, please, please come and talk to either me or to Luke or to Bex or to somebody you trust, somebody in the ministry team. We'd love to be able to pray with you and help you. Thanks, Luke.